أوكي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, he says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swears in this verse that I will surely try you with something of hunger and with something of hunger and loss of livelihood, and he mentioned something else, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, give good tidings to those who are patient. So it's part of our life in this world that we go through difficulties. And when we go through difficulties, we feel sad, we feel worried, we feel anxious, and we need people to talk to. So, and I've gone through, just like all of you have, I've gone through many stages of my life where I was worried, where I was anxious, when I was scared. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with someone who I would go to frequently for advice. And that is our guest today, Sheikh Abu Munir al-Sha'ar. And I always benefited from the time that I spent with him. So I thought that in the midst of the worry and anxiety that all of us are in, it's human, it's natural to feel worried. It's natural to be scared. It's natural to be anxious. All of these things are emotions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates within us for our wisdom. So, when we spend time with somebody who has experience, somebody who has wisdom, and someone who, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives certain people, he gives them a gift of being able to connect with other people, being able to calm them down, and being able to turn any situation that they're going through into a means that turns them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they can flee back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thought that before Sheikh Abu Munir comes, I'd just like to introduce him to all of you. Many of us already know him. He's one of the remarkable things about him is that I think every single person who meets him loves him and is drawn to him. Let me tell you where it all began. So there was a man by the name of Sheikh Muhammad al-Hashimi. He was a scholar from Algeria, and he emigrated to Damascus. And he died, he lived and he taught in Damascus, and he died there in the year 1961, some decades ago. Sheikh Muhammad al-Hashimi was a man who was known for his humility. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever humbles himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises him. And many, many scholars, they observed that this was something that was fulfilled in the life of Sheikh al-Hashimi. He was known for his extreme humility. And he had many students, and he spent time with them. He spent time teaching them. He spent time keeping their company. And all of us have experienced this, that there's one aspect of secret seeking knowledge, which is you learn the technicalities of how to pray, how to fast, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, what's going to happen in the afterlife, what a particular verse of the Quran means. We learn these technicalities. But there's another aspect of our religion, and that has to do with the character. And this character is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to perfect. In a famous hadith, he said that I was sent in order to perfect good character. And good character is not learned by reading lots of books. It's learned by seeing someone who you are influenced by. You spend time with them, and they influence you, because because they have good character and they care about you, they spend time with you, even though you're not important. They listen to you, they ask about you, and they give of themselves to you. So Sheikh Muhammad bin Hashimi, many people have said that he was somebody who was like that. And he influenced many, many people, many, many scholars all over the Muslim world. Among them was the former Mufti of Jordan, Sheikh Nuh Hadith Salman, who perhaps many of you have heard of. He was recognized worldwide for his knowledge and also for his humility. And it's not well known, but he spent time and he learned with Sheikh Muhammad al-Hashimi and he benefited from him. And there's many other scholars scattered all over the world who were influenced by his character, and they went on to influence other people in turn with their character. And among these scholars were three scholars that some of you might have heard of. The first of them is on the left you see here. He is Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Shahuri, and he died in the year 2004. He was a student of Sheikh Muhammad al-Hashimi, and he was somebody who taught the Islamic sciences. He taught the science of, his expertise was the science of Aqidah, the science of Islamic belief, logical arguments for the proof of the existence of God, but he was also a deeply spiritual man. And Sheikh Abu Munir al-Sha'ar, who is our guest today, was his personal student for a very long time. And he arguably spent more time with Sheikh Abdul Rahman than anyone else. And he was with him in his house. He helped him do all kinds of things. And Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sha'uri, he loved him. Sheikh Abu Munir, he admired Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sha'uri, and he was influenced by his character. And he took many things from him. And so among them, what I believe, was that Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sha'uri, he was a scholar, but he behaved like a normal person. So when the average person saw him, they saw somebody who appeared to be a righteous man, but he wouldn't carry himself like a scholar. He would carry himself like a normal human being. And he behaved like a normal human being so much that, you know, anybody could come and talk to him, and anybody could come and object to him, and children would laugh with him. He influenced many, many people, and he has many students all over the world. And so he passed away in the year 2004, and he was succeeded by Sheikh Mustafa al-Turkmani. Sheikh Mustafa al-Turkmani, when Sheikh Abdul Rahman died, then Sheikh Abu Munir, he went on to become the personal servant of Sheikh Mustafa al-Turkmani as well. So he served him. Just as he'd served Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Shahuri, he served Sheikh Mustafa al-Turkmani. And he saw, Sheikh Abu Munir, he saw many aspects of their lives. So if you sit with him, he's a treasure trove of stories of how they reacted in this situation and how they reacted in this situation. I can personally testify that it's a very moving experience, because you hear stories of people who had beautiful character, and these are people who just lived recently, in our lifetimes. So he spent time, he served Sheikh Mustafa al-Turkmani. Sheikh Mustafa al-Turkmani took the place of Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Shahuri in Damascus. But he also, Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Shahuri, he placed him above all of his students in his lifetime. But Sheikh Mustafa didn't live very long, and he passed away in the year 2006. Another thing I wanted to tell you was that both Sheikh Mustafa al-Turkmani and the one who took his place after he passed away, Sheikh Shukriya Luhafi, were students of Sheikh al-Hashimi. And they were accomplished students of Sheikh al-Hashimi. But they, for all of these years, until the end of their lives, they concealed themselves. And people didn't know that they were students, that they had spent time with Sheikh al-Hashimi, that they'd learned from him. Particularly, they knew that they'd spent time with him, but they didn't know how accomplished they were. Particularly Sheikh Shukri al-Luhafi, who, when Sheikh Mustafa passed away, Sheikh Abu Munir also spent time with him, and he was his personal servant. And Sheikh Shukri, you see here in this photograph, he is pouring water, because what he in the gatherings of religious learning, his role for decades during the lifetime of Sheikh Abdul Rahman, for decades when Sheikh Abdul Rahman taught, he would go and he would behave like a nobody, and he would take water and he would go and he would pour water for all of the attendees, and he would be dressed in normal clothing, and many people would think that he was a beggar, and they would give him money, and he would accept it and give it away to somebody else afterwards. But he continued even after he took the place of Sheikh Mustafa. He continued doing this. He continued serving, pouring water for everybody, and behaving in this same way, in this humble way. And that's a common theme that is seen throughout all of these students of Sheikh al-Hashimi. That was something that he was known for. And Sheikh Abu Munir he served all of these people. And he has a lot of stories, and he was deeply influenced by all of them. And a lot of the things that you hear about these people, you see in him, and particularly his concern for other people, particularly his humility. So he's somebody who I love very much, and somebody who many of you know him and love him as well. I know there's a number of my students from my class. I teach a class on inward fiqh, and I often cite examples of Sheikh Abu Munir and how he behaves, and it's very instructive. So in this time, I thought that it would be beneficial for all of us to take our questions to him and listen to him and benefit from him. So what I'm going to invite him now, and
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. So I'm going to start with a question about a general piece of advice that Sheikh Abu Munir wrote for all of us in this time time of the pandemic. And it was circulated on a translation was circulated on the last Basira newsletter. So I'm going to ask him to summarize that and what drove him to write that. سيدي كتبتم نصيحة عامة للمسلمين في زمن الوباء وكثير منا قد قرأ النصيحة لأنها ترجمت إلى اللغة الإنجليزية فما الذي دفعكم لكتابة هذه النصيحة ولماذا ركزتم على الإصلاح في جانبيه في نصيحتكم
لماذا
ركزتم على الإصلاح بالذات ما العلاقة بين الإصلاح وبين ما نحن فيه؟
نعم. والإصلاح على أول شيء أريد أن أقول السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
The first thing he wants to say to everybody, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الشيء الثاني أن نسحب كلمة شيخ ونقول أبو منير.
The second thing is, he says, subtract the word Sheikh and just say Abu Munir.
لأن هذا اللقب لا يطلق إلا على أهله ونحن لسنا من أهله.
Because this word Sheikh is only used for people who deserve it, and he says that in reality he doesn't deserve it.
هذا ليس على سبيل التواضع بل هو على سبيل الحقيقة.
So he's not being humble, but he is just speaking the reality.
نعم. نعود للسؤال. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم افتح علينا بسيدنا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ما أغلق علينا، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، وما توفيقي إلا بالله، عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب وإليه أنيب. ما في شك أنه إذا وقع بلاء أنه لا يرتفع إلا بتوبة. ونحن إذا بدك ترجم سيدي.
Sidi Amir says that whenever there is a tribulation, then there's no doubt that tribulations are only removed through repentance.
فمعلوم القاسي والداني أن العالم يعني غرق بالفساد وعلى جميع المستويات. يقول الله تعالى: ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس.
Says that there is no that anybody who looks around the world says there is no doubt that there is disorder and dissension and disobedience and conflict, that the world is full of these things. And the Arabic word that he uses for this is fasad, which means that things aren't the way that they should be, and things are spoiled and in need of repair. And he quoted the verse of the Quran that this discord and dissension and things being in need of repair has spread all over the world because of what the hands of men have earned.
فكانت من سنة الله تعالى في خلقه أنه إذا عم الفساد يرسل لهم آيات لتردهم إليه سبحانه وتعالى.
He says it's from the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when fasad becomes widespread, dissension and discord and disobedience and disagreement amongst people and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them a trial to bring them back to Him.
قال الله تعالى: ولقد أرسلنا إلى أمم من قبلك فأخذناهم بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يتضرعون.
He cited a verse in which it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we've surely sent messengers to people before you, and we took them, we seized them with affliction and hardship and tribulation so that they might be humble and supplicate and humble themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وقال تعالى: فلولا إذ جاءهم بأسنا تضرعوا.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that why isn't it the case that when the difficulties that we sent to people that they didn't humble themselves before me.
فالبلاء والضراء والبأس لا يرفع إلا بتوبة نصوحة.
So tribulations and difficulties are only lifted through a sincere repentance.
يقول الله تعالى: ما يفعل الله بعذابكم إن شكرتم وآمنتم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you if you were grateful and you believed?
فكان لابد من إصلاح العلاقة بين العباد ومولاهم سبحانه وتعالى.
So there needs to be a repairing of the relationship between the servant and his master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وبين العباد بعضهم مع بعض.
And between the servants, among one another, among them.
فهذا كان سبب يعني النصيحة كان واردا قويا عند الفجر أن ترسل هذه الرسالة لعموم الخلق، لنرمم العلاقة بيننا وبين الله سبحانه وتعالى، وكلنا يعلم تقصيره فيما بينه وبين الله سبحانه وتعالى.
So he said that was the reason why he wrote it, and it was he said he had a he had a thought came to him, a strong feeling came upon him after praying the Fajr prayer that he needed to send this out to people so that they would repair their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repair their relationships with each other. So that's where the counsel came from.
والفقير أبو منير يعني يرى أن هذا من النذر، هذا البلاء والوباء هو من النذر، هو نذير. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين 1500 سنة بين يعني بين أظهرنا وبين في حياتنا، لكن هل التفتنا إلى الاستقامة مع الله سبحانه وتعالى، إلى الطاعة لله تعالى؟ إلا ما رحم ربي.
He says, سيدي الشيء الأخير كان 1500 سنة
من كان 1400 و يعني من بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى يومنا هذا.
نعم.
و يعني 1400 و
نعم شوية.
نعم. فرسول الله بين أظهرنا، وعلموا أن فيكم رسول الله.
ما معنى كونه بين أظهرنا؟
يعني هو سنته وهديه هو بين أيدينا. الوعاظ يعظون، الدعاة يدعون إلى الله، كتاب الله بين أيدينا، ولكن هل كان هناك إقبال على الله سبحانه وتعالى خلال هذه الفترة الأخيرة يعني التي نحن فيها؟
So he says that that he refers to himself as the needy person. He says that he believes that this the affliction that has befallen us is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that for 1,500 years the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been among us. And so I asked him, what does it mean for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be among us for 1,500 years? He said that his sunnah has been among us, his example has been among us, his book that he brought down has been among us, and people who give.
بالمناسبة.
No.
بالمناسبة. كان سيدنا الشيخ مصطفى رحمة الله عليه، سيدنا الشيخ مصطفى التركماني، عندما ينظر إلى أحوال الناس ومخالفاتهم وبعدهم عن الله سبحانه وتعالى، كان يقول: والله إن الله لن يترك الأمر هكذا إلا وأن يؤدبهم.
So he said that the Prophet is among us, and what have we done? Where have we been? And he said that it's appropriate here to mention that Sheikh Mustafa Tukmani, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, we learned about at the beginning. When he used to see people's acts of disobedience and distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave the matter like this. He will send something to discipline them and bring them back to him.
فهذا هو حقيقة هو تأديب إلهي. هذا الوباء هو عم الكرة الأرضية، فهو نذير وتأديب إلهي لمن أراد أن يتعظ.
So he says that this pandemic has spread all over the world. So it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is disciplining and reminding us and to take an admonition, to take heed for whoever intends to take heed.
فَإِن تُبْنَا ورجعنا إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى وفتشنا أحوالنا مع الله سبحانه وتعالى وأصلحنا فيما بيننا وبينه سبحانه وتعالى ثم أصلحنا فيما بيننا بعضنا مع بعض عسى الله أن يرفع عنا ما نحن فيه.
So if we look into ourselves and examine ourselves carefully and look into our own shortcomings and repair our relationships with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repair our relationships with each other, then it may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift the affliction from us.
يقول هذا كان سبب يعني أن تقديم هذه النصيحة.
So he said that was the reason for writing the advice that he did. So there's, I'm going to read first a question that one of the that was sent before the session. One of the questioners, she asked that how can we forgive somebody who's wronged us? How can we truly forgive somebody who's wronged us? And if somebody has wronged us in word and in deed and done things, and then I've tried to repair relationships by apologizing to them and sending gifts to them and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the ill will from my heart, but the ill will remains in my heart. Is this a sign that I have bad character? أحد الأخوات سألت إن كيف نغفر من أساء إلينا مغفرة حقيقية إذا كان هناك شخص قد أساء إلينا بالقول والفعل وأنا حاولت الإصلاح بالاعتذار إليه وإرسال الهدايا إليه والدعاء إلى الله أن يذهب عما في قلبي ضد هذا الشخص لكن هذا الشعور يبقى في قلبي وإن كنت يعني حاولت جهدي فهل وجود هذا في قلبي دليل على نقص في حسن الخلق؟
دليل على ليس على الأكمل هناك حسن وهناك أحسن هي فعلت ما تستطيع أن تفعل لكن هي تجد في نفسها شيء الأصل أن لا تجد في نفسها شيئا وقال الله تعالى وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون أموالهم في السراء والضراء هنا الشاهد والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين الشاهد هنا في كظم الغيظ والعفو والإحسان.
He said that it's not the ill will not going away isn't a sign that one is doing anything wrong. Because he didn't say this, but just as an interjection, because if somebody is wronging one, then the ill will is not something that's wrong. The ill will that's wrong is to have ill will towards someone, even though they haven't done anything to one, like envy and rancor. So he said, Sri Munir said that this ill will is not wrong, but it is not as good as removing it completely. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in a verse of the Quran, that he's prepared race to a paradise whose expanse is the heavens and the earth that's been prepared for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it describes their qualities. And the two of the qualities that are described are those who conceal, who withhold their anger and forgive other people. Now,
يقول أحد العارفين قل من نال مني أو علقت بذمته أبرأته لله شاكر منته أأراني أعوق مؤمنا عن ربه أو أن أسوء محمدا في أمته
He said one of the people who was close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in a line of poetry, he said that anybody who harmed me or anybody who has a liability because of what he's done to me, I forgive him. And he says that I do this out of gratitude for the favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done to me. And how could I to the Al-Bayt al-Shatrastani?
قال
أوراني
أوراني في أولها أولها
أو علقت
بذمته من نال مني أو علقت بذمته أبرأته لله شاكر منته أتراني أعوق مؤمنا عن ربه أو أن أسوء محمدا في أمته إذا لم أعفو عنه يكون هذا عائقا بينه وبين الله هذا الظلم وهذه الإساءة وسيكون يعني أسوء محمدا في أمته هو من أمة سيدنا محمد فأنا أتهم من أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أحد أفرادها.
So he said that how could I bar somebody from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because when I have a right over them and I claim my right, I am becoming a barrier between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could I ever be a means to do that? And how could I ever sadden the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding his ummah? Because he has a special concern for everybody who is a Muslim.
شاهد آخر هناك سيد وعنده جارية لم تعتني بابنه فاحترقت يده أو يعني أصابه مكروه فغضب السيد وأراد أن ينفذ غضبه بالجارية فقالت له قال الله تعالى والكاظمين الغيظ فكظم غيظه هدأ غضبه ثم قالت له والعافين عن الناس خافت أن يعاقبها فيما بعد قالت عفوت عنك قالت والله يحب المحسنين قال أنت حرة لوجه الله تعالى ففازت بالعتق من وراء هذه الخطيئة الخطأ التي خطأ الخطيئة التي فعلتها معه
So he says there's another example of the story that's told of a woman who was a servant. She was a slave. So it's from the times of slavery. So, but slavery in the Muslim world was not like slavery elsewhere. And this story brings out that difference. So she was taking care of a son, a small boy that belonged to her owner. And she neglected him and his hand got burned, severely burned. And so the father became very angry and she became scared. And so she quoted the verse of the Quran that says, والكاظمين الغيظ. This is those people for whom Jannah has been prepared. She says, and those who conceal their anger, repress, they keep their anger, withhold their anger. He said, I withhold my anger. And then she said, and those who forgive other people. He says, I forgive you. And then she said, and Allah loves those who of excellence, loves those who have ihsan. He said, you are free for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said that she committed, she made a mistake, and that mistake became a reason for her becoming free.
شاهد آخر وإن أساء إليك الصديق يوما بجهله فإن أساء إليك الصديق يوما بجهله فاغفر لأجل الود ليس لأجله.
للأجل البدي
فاغفر له لأجل الود ليس لأجله.
أي الود سيدي؟
الود الوداد.
لمن؟ للصديق؟
إن الصديق الذي أساء إليك بجهله.
نعم.
فإن أساء إليك الصديق يوما بجهله، أساء صديقك، أنت صاحب له منذ كذا من السنين، فيوم من الأيام أساء إليك، فيقول له: فإن أساء إليك الصديق يوما بجهله فاغفر لأجل الود، لأجل العلاقة التي كانت بينك وبينه خلال هذه السنوات، لأجل الود ليس لأجله.
وليس لأجله ما
ليس لأجل، يعني ليس لأجل الصديق، بس لأجل الود.
So he says that
لأجل العلاقة التي بينك وبينه.
He says that there's
لأن
another...
الله يسأل عن صحبة ساعة.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says there's a saying. So he says, if you have a friend with whom you've kept company for a long time, and then they do something to harm you. They do something to harm you. He says that when that happens, then forgive him. Forgive him because of the relation of the good times you've had with them in the past, not because of him. So maybe we are upset at a particular person because what they've done to us, but we remember all of the good times we've had with them in the past. So for the sake of that past good relationship, he said, forgive them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask on the Day of Judgment, will ask us about the company that we kept with somebody for even a short period of time, because it has a right over us.
وهناك طعم إيماني، طعم إيماني لمن يعفو ويغفر لمن أساء إليه. يعني يذوق هذا ذوقا.
He says that there is a taste, that there's a taste, something, there's a pleasant thing that you can taste, and this is to do with faith, a faith-based taste, a pleasant experience that you can taste when you forgive someone.
والله تعالى يقول فليعفو وليصفح امتثل أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى فليعفو وليصفح. هل أحد أسيء إليه كسيدنا أبي بكر رضي الله عنه؟
He says that forgive people, that there's a taste. He's mentioned before elsewhere that this taste is so sweet that when one tastes it, one wishes that people will wrong one so that one can forgive them. And then he says that one should remember the verse of the Quran let them forgive. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. And this was revealed when Sayyidina Abu Bakr, his own daughter, was slandered by somebody who he used to support. And so has anybody been, he says, harmed in that way? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr forgave, and so we should also forgive.
أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ.
Don't you wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should forgive you? It's in the verse.
قال سيدنا أبو بكر بلى.
سيدنا أبو بكر said, indeed I do. I want Allah to forgive me. And then he forgave the one who had wronged him. سيدي في هذا في الأخبار. So I'm going to ask about the worries, economic worries about our times. نسمع في الأخبار عن ضغط اقتصادي كبير سيصيب العالم بسبب الوباء. فكثير منا قد فقد رزقه أو فقد العمل الذي كان يعمل أو نقص حصل نقص أو يتوقع نقص. فبسبب ذلك يوجد قلق وهم. فكيف يعني كيف العلاج؟
هناك علاج إيماني. يقول الله تعالى وفي السماء رزقكم وما توعدون. فورب السماء والأرض إنه لحق مثل ما أنكم تنطقون. هذا إيماني.
He says, so I asked about the impending economic downturn. I said that many of us have lost our jobs or suffered cuts or are anticipating losing our income. So, and this causes us worry. So what's the cure for that? He said there's a belief-based cure, and it comes from our iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that your sustenance is in the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed it. And this is in other words, whatever is decreed will reach you. So this having this conviction is a reason, or it's a cause for curing the worry.
كنت في بطن أمك والله يغذوك ثم إن خرجت إلى هذه الدنيا وعشت فيها ما شئت أن ما شاء الله لك أن تعيش هل قطع رزقه عنك؟
Said that you were in the womb of your mother and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nourished you and provided you. And then you came into this world and you lived this entire life down to the present day. Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever cut his sustenance from you?
لكن أنا أرى المشكلة ليس يعني أرى التفكير في هذا في هذه المسألة في هذا الظرف هو تفكير يعني سامحني إذا قلت يعني أنه لا ينبغي لماذا؟
He says, but thinking in this way, in these times, he says, please forgive me for saying this, that I don't think that we should think in this way in the times that we're in. Why not? Let me explain.
لو كنا الآن وتخيلنا الآن أن أنفسنا كلنا نحن الآن الذين مجتمعين الآن في طائرة والطائرة في السماء ثم حصل لهذه الطائرة عطل سوف تهوي هذه الطائرة في إلى الأرض إلا إذا أخذنا تعليمات الكابتن وسمعنا منه ماذا ينبغي أن نفعل في المظلات التي يجب أن كيف تربط وكيف نأخذ حذرنا وكيف نفعل وكيف نفعل هل يفكر أحدنا ونحن في هذه الحالة أنا ماذا سأأكل بعد قليل ماذا سيكون العشاء هل يفكر أحدنا في هذا مستحيل كيف نحن نفكر الآن كيف يكون الوضع الاقتصادي أصلا هل سنبقى إلى الوضع الاقتصادي ولا سينتهي الأجل فيجب علينا أن نلتفت إلى ما يهمنا وهذا ليس من ما يهمنا أنه كيف يكون الوضع الاقتصادي بدي يكون كيف يكون وضعي مع الله سبحانه وتعالى
He says that he said that if our example is like the example of someone, a group of us were on a plane and something goes wrong with the plane and the plane is about to crash. And the captain says that in order for you to rescue yourself from the crash, from the plane crash, this is what you have to do. He says that if any of us were in that situation, would we think, what will I eat for lunch? What will I have for dinner? He says that our concern right now should be how to protect ourselves, how to save ourselves. He says we don't even know if we'll live, if we'll have enough life remaining until the economic crisis comes.
أحد أسباب هذا البلاء تعلقنا في الدنيا، فكيف لا نفهم عن الله سبحانه وتعالى ونحن في هذه الحالة أن نترك التعلق بها ونتعلق بخالقها؟
He says that one of the reasons for this pandemic is that we are attached to the dunya, attached to the things of the world, and we are chasing after the things of the world. And so how can we not put all of these things aside and attach ourselves to our Creator?
حب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة.
There's a saying that love of the world is the origin of every sin.
يقول سيدنا عبد الله بن عمر بن العاص يقول رضي الله عنهما قال مر علينا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ونحن نعالج خصا لنا. معروف الخص شو هو؟ عندما يكون عندك في بيوتكم، أنا رأيت هذا أنه في ستار هكذا، هو شبك من أجل لا يرى الذي في الغرفة من هذا يوضع في البيوت على الجدران بين السطح هذا البيت وسطح هذا البيت من أجل أن يحجب الرؤية. هذا الشبك هذا اسمه خص. يقول سيدنا عبد الله بن عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال مر علينا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ونحن نعالج خصا لنا، عم يصلحه في مشكلة يصلحه. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هذا لسيدنا عبد الله بن عمر بن العاص، ما هذا؟ قال خص وها. قال ما هذا؟ فقلنا قد وها يا رسول الله، يعني صار يعني ليس قويا، ضعف هذا الخص، قد وها فنحن نصلحه. فقال ما أرى الأمر إلا أعجل من ذلك. تصليح خص، تصليح ستار بين بيت وبيت لا يأخذ من الوقت إلا بعض الدقائق، وخليه يأخذ ساعة. قال الأمر أعجل من ذلك، وسمعتها برواية أخرى قال الأمر أقرب من ذلك، يعني الأمر الآخرة أقرب من تصليحك للخص هذا. فنحن بماذا نفكر؟ نفكر بالوضع الاقتصادي، ماذا سيكون وكيف سيكون وما، ليس هذا موضع التفكير، ليس هذا وقت التفكير.
There's a hadith in which one of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Sayyidina Amr ibn Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, he was repairing a window. So there's a lattice that was in between two houses on the roofs, so that somebody on one side can't see the other side. So you can go out on your roof and get light, but the neighbors can't see you. So he says that we were repairing this lattice. And he said the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed by. And he said, what are you doing, O Abdullah? And he said that we are repairing this lattice because it's in need of repair. It's become weak. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the afterlife is closer than that. Meaning that the urgency of preparing for the afterlife should have distracted him from doing this thing which might take him at most an hour. So he said that the matter right now is urgent, and to think about the impending economic crisis there's other things that are far more urgent.
كان الشيخ رحمة الله عليه سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن يقول رب كفاك بالأمس ما كان سيكفيك في غد ما يكون.
As Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Shawri used to say, that a Lord who provided for you yesterday, in the previous days, he gave you sufficiency, he will surely give you sufficiency in the future.
وفي الأثر يقول عبدي أطعني فيما أمرتك ولا تعلمني بما يصلحك.
And there's something that's it's been reported that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, oh my servant, obey me in what I've commanded you to do, and don't tell me about what will set your affair aright.
No. يقول أحد الصالحين في دعائه كان يقول ربي في تدبيري تدميري في تدبيرك تعميري. كان يدعو في هذا الدعاء يقول ربي في تدبيري تدميري في تدبيرك تعميري.
And one of the righteous used to make a dua, and it sounds very beautiful in the Arabic, it rhymes. He says that in my planning and is my destruction, and in your planning is my flourishing. So there's a question here. I feel empty and dead in the heart. I have been exposed to too many attacks on Islam, and although I have found answers, I feel as though I've been affected. يقول أنا أشعر بالفراغ والموت في القلب قد تعرضت لانتقادات وضد الإسلام يقولون المسلمون هكذا المسلمون هكذا والإسلام يقول هكذا والنبي هكذا ومع أني قد وجدت الأجوبة لكل هذه الأشياء أشعر بأنني قد أصبت بشيء وبقي يبقى هذا الشعور في قلبي.
نعم. هذا دواءه الذكر. هذا في هناك مدخل للشيطان على الإنسان في هذا الأمر. وهذا ليس خاصا بالأخ السائل، بل هو ربما يعني تسرب هذا إلى الكثير منا، ولكن ما هو علاجه؟ علاجه أن نلجأ إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى بالذكر حتى يذهب عنا هذا الوسواس.
Said that the questioner, this question that he's asked, it's not specific to him or her, but many of us are also feeling the effects of this. And it's a door that the shaitan uses to enter, and the cure for it is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by turning to him and begging him and pleading him and supplicating to him.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تعرض لما كلنا يعلم بالثلاث سنوات تقريبا الذين حوصروا بشعب أبي طالب حتى أكلوا خشاش الأرض وأكلوا العشب من الأرض. وهذا كانت كأنها تطيب خاطرنا نحن وفي هذه الأزمنة، وهم العصر الذهبي للأمة والعصر الذهبي للإسلام. وقد ابتلوا بأن نقص في كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. فرسول الله ذاق ما بعض ما نذوقه، هو ذاق أكثر في كل المجالات. نحن يعني المسلمون لم نذوق خوفا كخوف رسول الله، ولم نجد جوعا كجوع رسول الله، فهو كان الأسوة والقدوة لنا في أنه خاف أكثر وجاع أكثر وحوصر أكثر، وكله هذا لنتأسى ليكون لنا الأسوة والقدوة صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.
He said that if we think about the economic blockade that the Prophet ﷺ and his tribe went for 2 years, for 3 years, they were blocked and they didn't have any food to eat until they ate leaves and they ate grass. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will try us all with fear and hunger and a loss of livelihood. And he says that any fear that we feel, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was exposed to a greater fear. Any hunger that we experience, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a greater hunger. Any difficulty that we experience, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced a greater difficulty. And so it's comforting and it's consolation to know that we can take that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends these things to us so that He can be our example in these in such times.
فيعني الدواء لهذه الحالة الفقير أراه بكثرة الإقبال على الله والذكر. وإذا يعني راجع السائل نفسه في ذكره لله سبحانه وتعالى ألا يجد تقصيرا؟ لو سأل يعني هو بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة، لو رجع إلى نفسه ألا يجد تقصيرا؟
He says that the cure for this is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the questioner just returns to themselves and reflects on themselves, and everybody knows themselves best, don't they find some kind of a remissness in their dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
والذي لم يجد من نفسه تقصيرا فليبحث عن هل شكر الله على أنعامه التي تفضل به علينا بها.
And if somebody doesn't find any remissness in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they should think about whether they have thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that Allah has given them.
فنحن بين حالتين، إما تقصير في جنب الله تعالى وهذا كلنا يعلم ذلك، أو في عدم شكرنا لله سبحانه وتعالى وكل منا يعلم ذلك.
Said that it's one of two things: either we fall short of what Allah of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said we all know that we fall in that category. Or we don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough, and we all know that we fall in that category.
من أصبح أو أمسى آمنا في سربه معافا في بدنه عنده قوت يومه. انظر إلى يعني كل واحدة آمنا في سربه، ليس بخائف من أحد يقتله، آمنا في سربه معافا في بدنه، لا يشكو من مرض يزعجه، عنده قوت يومه يعني فقط وجبة هذا اليوم، فقد حيزت له الدنيا بحذافيرها.
There's a hadith that says that whoever wakes up in the morning and he's safe in his home and he's healthy, he doesn't have any affliction, he's not sick, and he has enough food to suffice him for that day. Umayyah says, look at this, for that day, he said, then it's as though the entire dunya has been given to him. Muta'alliq bihadha su'al fihi, related to this question, is another question that somebody emailed in advance. And that question, it's a mother, and she says that someone advised me to send many blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to remove worry. And so he said, I'm a mother and I can do this frequently as I'm doing my housework. Is there a particular kind of blessings in the Prophet ﷺ that you would recommend? أحد الأخوات سألت يعني سؤال متعلق بهذا أنها قالت سمعت نصحها شخص بكثرة الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لذهاب الهم وهذه الأمور فهل وهي كأم عندها وقت يعني ممكن أن تشغله بهذا يعني بين واجبات في البيت يعني يكثر من الصلوات فهل أولا هل هذا صحيح وإذا إن كان صحيحا فهل هناك صيغة معينة للصلاة تنصحون بها ذكرت هي مثلا صلاة تنجينا وصلاة نارية وصلاة طبية فهل هناك صيغة معينة تنصحون بها؟
نعم. أول شيء هذا الذي نصح هذه النصيحة إنه ناصح حقيقي أمين.
So he says, first of all, whoever gave you this advice is gave you good advice, and they wanted he's reliable, trustworthy, and they wanted the best for you.
معلوم لدى الجميع أنه عندما جاء رجل إلى رسول الله صحابي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال له يا رسول الله أجعل لك ربع يعني يومي من الصلاة عليك قال خير وإن شئت وإن أكثرت فهو خير أكثر يعني أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام فقال أجعل لك نصف يومي قال هو خير وإن زدت قال أجعل لك صلاتي كلها قال إذن تكفى همك ويوفى دينك إلى آخر الحديث فهو هذا مصداق حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومشهود أنه من أكثر من الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ارتفع عنه الهم والغم والدين حتى تترجم إلى أن تترجم هذا بس تعطيني دقيقتين
نعم he says that there is a hadith in which a companion he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said that I will make a quarter of all of my dua for you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that's good. And if you do more, it's better. And then he said that I'll make half of all of my duas for you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that's good. But if you do more, it's better. And then he said that I'll make all of my salat, all of my prayers into salat on you. I won't make any other dua. And the Prophet ﷺ said that then your worries will be removed and your debts will be repaid. And there were other things as well that were mentioned. He said this is witnessed and it's known that whoever sends a lot of blessings upon the Prophet ﷺ, their worries disappear. And their debts get repaid. He just excused himself for 2 minutes while I was translating. He'll just be back.
نعم سيدي نعم.
نعم سيدي.
فمع الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجب أن يكون هناك أداء الحقوق لله وللعباد، ثم إذا أدينا الحقوق الواجبة علينا لله تعالى ولعباده نفعت إن شاء الله بإذن الله هذه الصلوات وأعطت أكلها.
He said that that if the first step is that making sure that one fulfills one's rights to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then fulfills one's rights to other people. When one does that and then one sends blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they will give their fruits.
لأنه إذا كان في تقصير في جنب الله أو في جنب عباده وأنت تصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليه الصلاة والسلام، يعني هذا يخالف القول العمل.
He says that because if you are if you don't fulfill your rights to other people and you don't fulfill your rights to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then you send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you are what you're saying doesn't correspond to what you're doing, because the Prophet who you're sending blessings upon has told you you're not obeying what he's telling you to do.
كان سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن رحمة الله عليه يقول في الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، قال السلام على رسول الله، أنت في أمان منا يا رسول الله من أن نخالف شرعك.
He said that Shaykh Abdul Rahman used to say that when we say As-Salatu, when we send blessings and peace on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the meaning of sending peace on the Prophet is that we are giving him a sense of safety and security that we're not going to disobey his commands and his law.
بالنسبة للصيغة على بالصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، الفقير هي مخيرة في أن تختار من الصيغ ما شاءت أن تختار، لكن الفقير الله سبحانه وتعالى ألهمني شيء يجمع بين أفضل ما قلت أنا والأنبياء من قبلي لا إله إلا الله، فأجمع بين لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أستغفر الله، لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أستغفر الله، وهكذا.
He says that that any blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you send is good, and you can send any blessings that you like. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired him to send it in a particular way, because there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which he said that the best that I have said, I and the messengers before me, is la ilaha illallah. So he says that when that what he finds benefit in is saying la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam astaghfirullah.
ولها أن حسب الحال الذي عندها، مثلا لو كان عندها شيء من القبض مثلا، أن تقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما تشرح بها صدري.
He says that what you can do is you can then expand on this by adding a statement at the end that la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, there is no god but Allah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah bless him and give him peace, and then you say a blessings and peace with which, and then whatever need you have you mention that over there. So he says, for example, if if you're feeling constriction in your heart, and then you would say a blessings and peace with which my heart is opened. If anybody would like a particular expression in Arabic to say to add to that, then you can send me a message, and I can get the Arabic expression for you, inshallah, from Sheikh Ibrahim.
قلتم سيدي صلاة وسلاما تشرح بها صدري.
نعم سيدي قلته باللغة الإنجليزية ثم
نعم
قلت
نعم
كان نعم إذا كان عند أحد يعني شيء معين ممكن يعني نساعده يعني في
مثلا عنده شيء يؤلمه. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما تشفي بها سقم.
So, for example, if you have an illness or pain, then you would say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you would say after that the blessings and peace with which you cure my illness or you cure my pain.
تهدي بها قلبي تصلح بها شأني تملأ بها قلبي إيمانا في الحالة التي أنت تكون تضمنها لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما وتضع حاجتك.
So he says that in whatever need that you're in, you at the end you just put your need there, and then you say you say the dhikr in that way.
ما في لك حاجة تقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استغفر الله لان هذا الاستغفار يعني ملازم للعبد في كل المقامات في كل الاحوال لا ينفك عنه.
He said that if you don't have any need then you just say astaghfirullah at the end, because he says that the seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that adheres to the servant, that's an obligation on us in all whatever state one may be in. So يوجد بعض يعني بعض الرسائل يعني أقرأها لكم. يوجد رسالة من سيدي طريف يقول السلام عليكم سيدي أبو منير جزاكم الله منا خيرا اشتقنا لكم ونحتاج المدد والأنظار منكم سيدي خادمكم طريف غرابي أبو عاطف. و يوجد من سيدي زيد يقول السلام عليكم شيخ أبو منير إن شاء الله أنتم بخير. هذا زيد من الإمام زيد من أمريكا. اشتقنا إليكم كثيرا، كيف حالكم في هذا الوقت وماذا تفعلون في هذه الأيام؟ إن شاء الله نستفيد من أعمالكم وعاداتكم. ويقول يقول سيدي ابني يقول كان ضاع رسالته بالذات لكن سلم عليكم ويشتاق إليكم هو أيضا.
نقول لهم جميعا وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. أدام الله تعالى عليكم نعمة وحفظ لكم إيمانكم وأهليكم وبارك الله في حياتكم وأعمالكم. أما بالنسبة لسيدي طريف فقول له لا نريد شطحا، فالمدد من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإذا أحلت فقير على فقير ماذا يأتيك منه؟ إذا أحلت فقير تستعين بفقير، هل يأتيك الغنى؟ هل يأتيك غنى؟
لا سيدي.
من فقير لفقير هل يأتيك غنى؟ لا لا يأتي غنى. لا بد لنا أن نعقد ونربط عقدا برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأنه هو يعني عندما يقول الله تعالى له إنك بأعيننا، فلنسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى إرثاً من ميراث سيدنا محمد من أن إنك بأعيننا إرثا من ميراث سيدنا محمد ما ودعك ربك وما قلى إرثا من ميراث سيدنا محمد وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى إرثا من ميراث سيدنا محمد بألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك إرثا من ميراث سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إيمانه صلى الله عليه وسلم يقينه صلى الله عليه وسلم إخلاصه صلى الله عليه وسلم صدقه صلى الله عليه وسلم أخلاقه صلى الله عليه وسلم آدابه صلى الله عليه وسلم عبوديته صلى الله عليه وسلم عبادته صلى الله عليه وسلم وهكذا. اللهم صل حبلنا بحبله، لأنه لا يمكن من الدخول إلى الحضرة الإلهية إلا من بابه صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهذا يعني وصية عامة لنا جميعا، وأنا أول من توجه هذه الوصية لي، أول واحد منكم والله.
There were a number of messages for Sidi Bumunir. One of them was in Arabic to somebody who Sidi Bumunir has a fondness for and a very close relationship with. And Sidi Bumunir responded, and the questioner asked Sidi Bumunir to make dua for him and with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and through his barakah. He said, praise. She prays Sidi Bumunir, and Sidi Bumunir said that he is a faqir and a needy person just like him, and that the way that our way is not to turn to other people but to turn to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by virtue of our ascription to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he mentioned verses from the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he talks about how he has taken care of the Prophet, such as in Surah Al-Duha, he said that were you not an orphan and we took care of you and you were poor and we enriched you. And so he says that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that since we are following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're his followers, and through by virtue of our ascription to him, send these things upon us. And he talked about the importance of renewing our relationship with the Prophet. So I will close with this last question, the last two questions. I'll put them together and then we'll just close with that, inshallah. It's getting late. Sidi, let's نختم inshallah be سؤالين يتعلق بما قلتم. السؤال الأول يقول يعني تسأل أحد الأخوات إذا الذكر الذي قلتم لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما ثم تذكر حاجتها فتقول هي إذا كانت هل ينبغي أن تذكر الحاجة باللغة العربية أو ممكن أن تذكر
لا الحاجة لا, لا 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 مو شرط اللغة العربية لا
So he said, there's a question, can we recite our need in English after the Arabic salawat, or do we have to say the Arabic? He said that you can say it in English, there's no need to say it in Arabic.
تذكر لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما هذا عربي.
No.
ثم no. تذكر حاجتها بأي لغة كانت.
So you say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما, and then after that you complete it in any language that you like. والأخير شري يقول كيف نجعل هذه الصلوات شيئا يؤثر في قلوبنا ولا تبقى في ألسنتنا, ونختم بهذا السؤال.
هي هذه يعني هذه الصلوات لأجل أن نصلح بها أحوال قلوبنا, يعني هي الدواء لإصلاح قلوبنا, خصوصا عندما أنت تذكر, يعني عندما تقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله بحضور صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما، ثم يدفعك اضطرارك بأن تذكر حاجتك، فهذه الحاجة أنت مضطر إليها، فأنت تدخل على الله سبحانه وتعالى بلا إله إلا الله أفضل ما قلت أنا والأنبياء، وبالصلاة على حبيبه الذي لا يرد دعاء قيلت الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبله، لا يرد هذا الدعاء، فهو الذي يعالج يعني هذه الحالة التي تذكرها.
So the question, how do we make the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than just words in our tongue, rather and something that affects our hearts? And he said that that's the purpose of sending blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to cure our hearts. And so one does it with regularity, so that our hearts become softer and affected by the dhikr that we make. And he says that if we say this expression, we say La ilaha illallah with presence of heart, and this is the best thing the Prophet ﷺ said that he and any of the prophets and messengers have ever said, then we say Muhammadur Rasulullah also with presence of heart, and then we send blessings on the Prophet ﷺ, and there's no prayer that has the blessings of the Prophet ﷺ in it that's rejected, because the blessings of the Prophet are always accepted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more generous than to accept something and not accept everything else. And then whatever need is in our hearts, we use that. And so we are driven by putting all of these things together. It helps us have presence of heart. Inshallah, we'll stop here. And inshallah, there'll be another webinar next week. I'll ask all, invite all of you to join us next week, inshallah. سيدي نختم هنا. ممكن نختم
قبل أن نختم سيدي، قبل أن نختم. قال العلماء أن الصلاة على النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم مقبولة ولو كانت رياء، يقبلها الله تعالى ولو كانت رياء، فكيف إذا كانت من صاحب احتياج واضطرار؟
He says that the scholars have said that sending blessings on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is something that is accepted even if one does it in order to show off to other people. So how should it be if one says it out of a sense of neediness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
هذا شيء. والشيء الآخر الأخير يعني الذي عندي، أن أطلب من الجميع أن يدعو الله لي بالتحقق بما تفضل الله تعالى به علينا في من هذه الكلمات، أن يحققنا بها، وأن يصلح أحوالنا. أسألهم الدعاء بذل أن يخصونا وهم في بلاد يعني ينظر الله إليهم إن شاء الله إذا كانوا مستقيمين بعين الرضا، فإذا طلبوا من الله لا يردهم الله، أن يقولوا أصلح الله حال أبو منير وحققه فيما يقول، لأنني لا أستطيع أن أدعي شيئا من كل ما ذكرنا إلا أنه رزق ساقه الله إلينا بسببهم، فنسأل الله أن يحققنا في ذلك، وأن نكون في دعائهم في أن يصلح الله ما فسد من أحوالنا.
He said his closing words are he would like all of you to make dua for him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realize him in everything that he has said, because he doesn't claim to be realized in anything that he has said. And he said that all of you are in lands where, because if you're in non-Muslim lands, and where the practice is, where being Muslim is not widespread, then you have, when you uphold Islam and you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He answers your prayers because you stand out. And so to make a special dua for Abu Munir, because nothing that he said, he's not realized by anything. And everything that he said was sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created on his tongue for your sake.
نعم سيدي.
تختمون بدعاء سيدي؟
الدعاء يدعو لنا، يدعو لنا هم في ظهر الغيب.
هذا حاصل سيدي.
الدعاء في ظهر الغيب مقبول عند الله، والملك يقول لهم ولك مثل ذلك. لكن نقول حتى يعني لا يعني نخيب طلبك، نقول الحمد لله رب العالمين، يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك، سبحانك سبحانك سبحانك، لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد بقدر حبك فيه، وزدنا يا مولانا حبا فيه، بجاهه عندك فرج عنا وعن جميع المسلمين ما هم فيه، بجاهه عندك فرج عنا وعن جميع المسلمين ما هم فيه، بجاهه عندك فرج عنا وعن جميع المسلمين ما هم فيه. اللهم اصلح أمة سيدنا محمد، اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد، اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد، اللهم تجاوز عن أمة سيدنا محمد، اللهم استر أمة سيدنا محمد، اللهم انصر أمة سيدنا محمد، اللهم اجبر أمة سيدنا محمد، اللهم ولي على أمة سيدنا محمد خيارها، واصرف عن أمة سيدنا محمد شرارها، وارفع البلاء والوباء والغلاء وتسلط الأعداء عن أمة سيدنا محمد. ربنا تقبل منا واقبلنا، وعافنا واعف عنا، واغفر لنا وارحمنا، إكراما لحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأسرار الفاتحة. الله يحفظكم جميعا، يجعلنا في دعائكم جميعا.
He's asking you, he's making dua that Allah preserve all of you and that please make dua for him, all of you. So, we'll stop here. Just a note that there is also a 1 week, next week there's going to be a special course for families on why Islam is true. And I encourage all of you to go to the website, the Basira website. On the main page, there's a link to that course. It's an opportunity for, you know, as all of us were stuck at home, maybe we can use this time to come together and as a family and learn about the truth of Islam. So it's an important course. So I urge all of you to check that out. We'll stop here. See you all next week. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.